Good morning. It's good to gather together on a Sunday morning. We missed being able to do that last week with the weather, but we're glad to be here today on a day with the sun shining again, finally. Lots going on at this season of our life together. We will have our last Advent service this week, Wednesday night. We'll gather for that meal at 5:45 and a half an hour service at 6:30. So I hope you'll join us for that. We've had good crowds for both of those Wednesday services so far, including the one this past Wednesday where we had a fair amount of snow still around. So hope that you'll be able to join us again this Wednesday. And there is a meal provided. We had talked about whether we would be doing a potluck or something, but there is a meal provided. So you just have to show up hungry and ready to eat. Thursday night, the men are getting together for their annual Christmas gathering here in the fellowship hall at 7 o'clock for a catered meal, and at 6 o'clock, the Christmas play practice will be happening here. It's not too late to be a part of that. If you would like to be a part of that, be here at 6 o'clock on Thursday night, and then the children's Christmas play will be Friday night at 7 o'clock here. Then, on Sunday next week, will be a big day in our life together, too. The choir is going to have some special music. We're not doing a whole cantata this time, but we are doing extra pieces. So we'll be doing some festive pieces on Sunday morning. We're going to have two baptisms on Sunday. Calvin Carrick and Hannah Smith will both be baptized on Sunday. And since Hannah's dad would like to be dad instead of pastor, that means that we're going to have the bishop come and do her baptism. And I think while he's here, he's going to go ahead and preach too. So it ought to be a good day together. Hope you'll be able to join us for all of these events in this coming week, certainly. A reminder that our Angel Tree gifts for the children are due today. So if you're like my family, we'll go home after church today and get those gifts that we forgot, and we'll come back because they need to be here by 5 o'clock this afternoon. So please do bring those if you haven't already. I wanted to update you on a couple of folks. Barbara Black passed away this morning at the hospice house in Salisbury. So we pray for her whole family, certainly. That's all the details we have right now, but we'll communicate more when we know more. And then the other person I wanted to let you know about was Sue Anderson. Sue had been at Abbott's Creek in rehab for about 3 weeks after a hospital stay. And I went over to her house Friday to try to go see her, and nobody was home, and I thought that was odd, and it was because she went in the hospital. And so she's back at Lexington Hospital. She had been in the ICU, but as of yesterday when I saw her, she's back in a normal room. So that's some improvement, but it's just been a difficult go for her too. So we'll keep her in our prayers especially. Are there other announcements we should be aware of today? I know Kim has got several things to tell us about.
So first thing, since we were not here last week, we will have an additional basket offering today that will be for our staff bonuses. So if you remember that. After the play practice on Friday night, we will be having a reception, just some finger food. So anyone that can bring a finger food to share, we would appreciate that. Next Sunday, we'll have a short reception honoring the baptism of Hannah and Calvin. So that'll be just some cake and punch. And so join us for that. What else? I think that was all my announcements I had to make. Oh, and the ladies are going caroling today at 2 o'clock, so everyone's invited to join us in caroling. At least the weather is better than it was yesterday. I thought, oh gosh, if we're having to carol in this mess, but it's going to be a pretty afternoon, so come on out and join us. So these prayer shawls are for... Barbara's family. I know Scott and Judy and Lindsay and Caroline, they all already have prayer shawls. So this one is for Barbara's daughter, Amanda Wright, and her son, Craig. So if y'all will bless these, please.
We wish happy birthday this week to Brandon, Greg, Johnny, Jeff, Caroline, Colton, and Carolyn. Did we miss anybody that we ought to add to that list? And we don't have any anniversaries that we know of. Is that right? Let's pray for all those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Looking for Advent wreath prayers, which I thought were up here. Page 94, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We'll go ahead and sing verse 3 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel while we light the Advent wreath. Message. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Doing pretty well? Talk to me about what's going on up here. Did you guys see what Mason just did? He lighted some candles. How many candles up there did Mason light?
Three.
That's right. And how many blue candles are there? Do you guys know? There are four blue candles, and why didn't we light the last one? Does anybody know? Why, Rosalie?
Because it's not the last
Sunday of Advent. Those candles are sort of like a countdown for us, okay? Or we're sort of counting up to Christmas. We light one of those candles each of the Sundays of Advent, and there are four Sundays of Advent, so we have four candles, and after the fourth Sunday of Advent, do you guys know what happens?
Christmas,
that's right. Yeah, Christmas. Yeah, Christmas, and there maybe will be cakes. Yeah, we celebrate Christmas in all kinds of ways. Yeah, and what we're celebrating on Christmas is Jesus' birth. That's absolutely right, where God comes to be with us. That's what we celebrate on Christmas, and that's why we do things like give presents, because we're just so happy and so joyful that Jesus has come to be with us. Now, I want to talk to you guys about something that's over here. So I want us to get up, and we're going to walk over here, okay? I want to show you guys what's over here. Careful of this flaming Advent wreath here. Okay, can you guys see this? Okay, let's put smaller people in the front and taller people. Maybe Isabel, you might be taller in this crowd, in the back. So, tell me about what this is. Do you guys know what this is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Maybe Jesus not in Kansas. It's because Mary was getting.
Okay, so we have Mary, and it has something to do with when baby Jesus comes, right? Yeah, this is the story that we're going to tell in the children's Christmas play and on Christmas Eve. We're going to tell this story about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And when the baby Jesus is born, baby Jesus gets put in a manger. And as Ashton told us, baby Jesus isn't in here yet. Do you guys know why baby Jesus isn't in here yet?
Because he's not born.
It's Christmas. Yeah, Jesus is born on Christmas, and it's not Christmas yet, right? So we know that baby Jesus was already born a long time ago, right? 2,000 years ago, baby Jesus was already born. But we're waiting for our celebration of that on Christmas, and we're still not to Christmas. So, the baby Jesus isn't in here yet. On Christmas Eve, all of you better help try to remind me that we want to put the baby Jesus in here on Christmas Eve. And if we forget, you better tell us it's time to put the baby Jesus in there, right? Because that's what we're waiting for. Yeah. Yes, Mason.
Me and my family watched the movie The Star, and it talked about baby Jesus getting born.
The movie The Star sort of tells this story. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
And I pay, and us have no more time.
Yeah. Well, this is going off the rails quickly with open open comments. But we're not going to touch this, Marcus and anybody else, because these could break. But does anybody have a set like this at home? Sometimes we call them a nativity set with Mary and Joseph and a manger for the baby Jesus. Yeah, we might have those at home. We call them nativity sets, and that's a great way at home to remind us of what we're celebrating, which is the baby Jesus coming to be with us, right? Jesus coming to be with us. You have more than one nativity set. That is wonderful. Okay. What I want us to do is get in a circle and hold hands, please, and we're going to pray now. All right. Everybody hold somebody's hand. Calvin, you want to get in here, buddy? All right. Let's pray. You guys can repeat after me. Lord God, thank you for sending us Jesus. Help us to wait patiently for Jesus come to be with us. Amen. Okay, thank you guys. Now next week we're going to light one more candle, okay? So you guys better be here to help us count. If you're going to children's church, you can line up at that door or you can stay with us.
Sunday of Advent is a reading from Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt you over with loud singing, as on the day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at that time when I gather you. For I will make you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before the eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm for today is from Isaiah, and it will be read responsively. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done glorious work. Let this be known in all the earth.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The second reading is from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So Tony read from the fourth chapter of Philippians just a moment ago. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And I think this text maybe gets a bad rap sometimes. And I get why. I really do. Especially this time of year when every speaker is blaring nonstop songs about all your days being merry and bright, and the whole focus of this culture is on an imagined perfect Christmas season celebrated by the picture-perfect Hallmark family with exactly 2.2 children, a golden retriever, and an immaculately decorated house. Because what do we do when everything on TV and the radio is saying you're supposed to feel comfort and joy? What do we do if it isn't there? It can seem like this season and this text require us to gloss over any possible unpleasantness. You know, come on, just rejoice. Just be merry. Just be grateful. As if we could flip a switch and be those things on command. So if some of you heard "rejoice always" this morning and rolled your eyes just a little bit, I understand. It's hard to rejoice when your body isn't working the way it's supposed to. It's hard to rejoice when relationships can break apart on you. It's hard to rejoice when we know death can still rear its ugly head and take ones we love. So if any of that is where you are in this season, the instruction, "Do not worry about anything," can sound pretty out of touch and unreasonable. I mean, what about tragedy? Are we supposed to rejoice in that? All the silver bells and holly jolly wishes in the world, they can't take pain and doubt away. And the commercial Christmas culture certainly doesn't give us resources to deal with tragedy, right? But you know what? Our faith does. All year round, and especially during Advent, we who gather to worship the risen Lord are a people of hope. And when I say hope, I'm not talking about a forced cheerfulness of some sort that plasters over sorrow and anxiety with some sort of veneer of smiles because we think we're supposed to. What we're talking about when we claim Christian hope is a space that looks to the newness of life of Christ precisely because of the painful realities that we experience in the here and now. And I think that's freeing, right? Not to have to pretend that everything is okay when we know deep down that it isn't. Take death, for example. I hate to break it to you if you haven't figured this out already, but if we're going to be people of the resurrection, there is no way to get to resurrection without dying first, right? Christian hope, though, is not about pretending that death doesn't exist or that we're immune from it. Christian hope is the ability to look to the resurrection of Christ, to which we have been joined in our baptisms, and proclaim that there is more in store for us, that the present condition of this world is not good enough for God's people. The gift of Christian witness, especially as we look to the coming of Christ in Advent, is that we do not have to hide our brokenness or pretend that it does not exist. This brokenness is exactly why we need a Savior to be born with us. Emmanuel, God with us, whose birth 2,000 years ago, if we're honest, hasn't eliminated all the troubles of this world yet. But that Emmanuel comes to us, accompanies us through the troubles, and promises us that there is more in store. This is the one, Jesus, who holds on to us when we feel like the world is falling apart around us. Jesus, the one who enters into our suffering and struggle and so reminds us that we are not alone in this. Jesus, the one who promises to bring us through all this, all these terrible things that happen in the world, and even ultimately through death into new life. So if you feel a little less than joyous in this season of preparation and waiting, that's okay. There is some heavy stuff in this world. But the hope that we cling to is about more than celebrating just a birthday for Jesus. Our hope comes from the fact that God is come to be with us and promises that Jesus will come again. And in that day, we shall fear disaster no more. The lame will be saved and the outcast gathered. Shame will be changed to praise and renown in all the earth. Doesn't that sound like something worth rejoicing about? Not rejoicing necessarily in the way that things are now, but rejoicing about the fact that we have a God who's not going to leave us alone, stuck in the way that things are. Our rejoicing is about the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, who John the Baptist proclaims, is coming. First in the manger, yes, but then in glory to be with us and to save us. And on that day, the rejoicing will be like nothing we've ever seen. The people listening to John the Baptist out in the wilderness, they longed for that day as fervently as we do. And in their excitement, they think that maybe John is the one who will bring that day. But John is really clear about this point. He is not the one to fulfill that longing, but there is one coming who will. There is one coming, John says, who will make things right. And when he gets here, I won't even be worthy to untie his sandals, John tells the crowd. I think we can forgive folks listening to John for jumping to conclusions about who he is, for wanting him to be the one to make it right, because we know pain too, right? We know suffering, not under the Roman Empire the way they were, but we know our own pain. So today, if you're down, I hear you. That's real. And if you're hurting, you don't have to pretend that you're not, but know this. This is not the way that things will stay. And in that promise, we have hope. In this, we can rejoice. God is not finished here. So we look for that day, we prepare for it, we wait, and we pray that it comes quickly. Thanks be to God. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed found on 104 or on the screen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.
Was incarnate of the Lord's
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray in hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Holy God, for choirs, hymn writers, musicians, and even off-key singing, we give you thanks. Fill us with your song of joy. Open us to proclaim your glory in our singing, speaking, and silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the hurting places in creation, for seas and lands ravaged by natural disasters, for communities and creatures displaced by floods and droughts. Grant peace through your presence and joy in your healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for peace to ring out in our hearts and in our homes, for mercy and forgiveness to reign in every community, for war to cease and hunger to end. Come quickly, Lord, and give us this joy now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, O God, for those who are oppressed. We pray for soldiers and veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and their families. We pray for neighbors who have no access to medical care. We pray for those who are ill and for all who mourn. Especially this day, we pray for Burnett, Jane, Bobby, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Barbara, Sue, Bill, the family of Barbara, Joanne, Billy, Gracie, Chuck, Wayne, Judy, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, Tyler, Robin, Dean, the family of Kevin, Tony, Gary, Becky, Joanne, the family of Harvey, Vince, the family of Katie, and all those we name now. Fill all for whom we pray with your peace, Lord, in your mercy. We pray, God, for foster families opening their homes, for grandparents raising grandchildren, for single parents struggling to make ends meet, and for all expectant parents. Give strength and comfort, Holy One. Lord, in your mercy. Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you these prayers and those unspoken in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another. Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." We proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, Lord, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us, bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people, fill us with your light, bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Of the world.
stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement on page 5 at the bottom of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Need to make an announcement. The council will meet over in the office complex immediately after service.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.